want to thank everybody for your kindness and all the nice texts and messages that we've gotten throughout this whole new journey in our lives, because let me tell you, it's a new journey, and it's really out of our comfort zone and really something new, and we're just excited to be doing something for the Lord and excited to be doing something that is actually good for the kingdom. So we just thank y'all for all of y'all's support and all of y'all's kindness, and we just want to thank Jennifer and Cody, too, for all y'all do and everything that we got going on and inside of it and out of here. We just thank y'all for everything y'all do for us and your prayers and your guidance and your leaderships. We appreciate y'all. And I know that, like before we got into this deal, I used to think we would come to church and Cody wouldn't be here and like we'd have a guest speaker. Our guest speakers are always good, but I remember I'd be like, oh, Cody's not here. So I get it. Y'all came to church and I'm like, oh, Cole's talking. But hey, you know, in the cowboy world, we got about two good horses out of your string of eight, and sometimes you got to rest that old good one that you want to ride all the time and got to take another little sorry sumbuck to work. So anyway, man, the other day we were driving over here to do some stuff and get the kids to Cody and Jennifer, and I don't know about y'all, I don't know when the Lord speaks to y'all, I don't know when the Holy Spirit gets a hold to y'all, but when he does me, it's usually in a pickup, it's usually in a car when I'm listening to that good music that me and Mari like to listen to, that Tasha Cobbs, those Jake Hamiltons, them guys and girls that get you fired up and get some things going, and I just get in this realm, and it's really the most time that I'm ever so relaxed. Like, I just know, like, when it's coming on, I know when I need to start paying attention, because I'm like, man, I'm still right now. I'm calm. And so something's going to come. And the other day when we were driving over here, both of them little boys finally went to sleep. And thank God. And I don't know what Marley was doing. I guess she was out there in a realm or something in the back seat. She was sitting between them. She had to give one the bottle. And she was probably just wore out from being my wife and Hayes' mom. But anyway, I don't know. I just felt like I was in the car by myself at this moment. We were listening to this song. And I was just thinking, you know, every time we head this direction, I think about the church. And I think about all the stuff that goes with it, and I think about me speaking and preaching and doing this stuff, and I was just got, the Lord was just like, man, you need to slow down, you need to check up, you need to pay attention, and you need to remember why all this started. Like, you weren't emailing Cody, and you weren't calling Cody, and you weren't asking Bethel, begging, man, can I come preach, and all the other places that you went and talked, you weren't asking if you could go and preach at their church, and you weren't ever wanting to be a preacher. The only thing that you wanted to do was be a cowboy in the middle of a rock wall in Arizona, and that didn't happen, so here it happens, and you know, he's like, you just need to remember your why, is what I felt like the Lord was speaking to me, and my why was like in 2022 in a feed pickup at a four-door white pickup in the middle of the Wagner Ranch. I had this deal that I'd already told y'all about, and I just had enough, and I'd hit rock bottom, and I was tired of the fighting, and I was tired of all the stuff that I was carrying around from my past, and I was tired of from everything that was just eating me up, and it was, God was like, this is where it started. This is where you told me that you were going to change the game. This is where you were going to start being somebody else who I called you to be. You were going to start putting the old man off and putting the new man on. And throughout that year, he guided me, and he led me, and he showed me these things through the Bible and through my studies and through the Word, and it took a whole year, and little did I know, just because of my obedience through Christ and the obedience of waking up every day and reading my Word and becoming this new man in Christ, he was working on my spouse, who I didn't know was fighting an enemy that we couldn't see, an enemy that we didn't know anything about. And I thought, you know, this whole time it was me and maybe her and a little bit of both of us, but it's the enemy that we can't see, and he was taking care of her, and he was guiding her and leading her, and he was preparing me to be the husband that I hadn't been for so long. And he was just getting ready for the big bang, you know, for the big deal at the end. And just like that song was talking about a while ago, that Sound Mind song, you know, he saved, healed, and delivered me. And that's what it's all about. And that's why we all got to remember, no matter whatever stage in your life you are, you know, we just have to remember our encounter with God. And at the end of my encounter was in that barn. And that's what I have to keep remembering and going on when the times get hard and the days get long and the kids are so much to deal with and the job's so much to deal with and all the bills and everything that's changing in your life. You have to remember your encounter with Christ and where it began and why we come to church on Wednesday and why we come to church on Sunday and why we do all these things for Christ. And it just brought me to, after I thought about all that, you know, in Ephesians, Paul wrote Ephesians, and Paul had one encounter with God, and it was on the road to Damascus, and so many of us want so many encounters. We're like, God, I just need another vision. I just need another something. I just need another dream. I just need another help. But you've already had that one big one, and all it took was Paul. For Paul was that one big one. And now all he did was he kept on going. And, you know, he was on the road to Damascus, and Jesus spoke to him, and his name was Saul at the time. And, And he was like, Saul, why are you persecuting me? You know, and he lost his sight because the light was so bright. And he was led into town, and he brought to this guy named Ananias, and he told him to regain your sight. And he said, don't waste any time. Immediately get up and be baptized. And from that moment, Paul was saved and began preaching the word of Jesus and began to give his whole life away, and all the things that he'd been doing wrong that weren't for the Lord, he started giving it all for God and living for God at that moment. And it was all because of an encounter that he had with Christ. You know, Jesus himself told Paul in Acts 26, he was sending him as a witness. So the words came from Jesus. So we know that we are sure that his words are our Holy Spirit inspired and relevant to us today. But we just got to remember our encounters and let it drive us. Because when the world starts getting busy and the world starts taking over, we forget all the things and why we do all this and why we serve and follow and read and chase God like we do. And for those of you that are like, man, Cole, I haven't had an encounter. Well, I encourage you to pray for one daily, all the time. And I was just thinking about this when I was going through all this. I encourage you to pray for one. But if you're walking in his ways, you're going to have a better shot at having an encounter with God. Because I wasn't going to have any encounters with God, I promise you, at the places and the people that I was hanging out with and the things that I was doing. But the more I seek him, the more you know God, the more shots and the more that you can hear from him. So here we go. We're back in Ephesians. That's kind of gets us back to where we are in Ephesians. It's going to be in 5:22 through 33. Paul's bringing up this deal about husbands and wives, and I was excited about this one, a whole lot more excited about it than I was the last part of Ephesians, but I'm excited about this because, you know, me and Marley missed the mark right here big time. We missed the mark on husbands and wives, but through surrender and grace and just all it took, you know, like, I just needed to surrender to God like I did in that day in that pickup, and he began to change me, and he began to grow me, and all these things started happening inside of me, and he started creating a leader, because we're called to be a leader, and we'll read here in a minute that the men are going to be the leaders of the house, and he was creating a man that could lead his wife, because there wasn't no man leading his wife up to the point there in the pickup. So I'm excited about this one, and you girls, y'all don't bow up. There's only 3 verses for y'all, but there's 9 for you men. So let's read it. 22, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. 23, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything, you men say everything, to their husbands. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church. Because we are members of his body, therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound, and I am saying that it refers to Christ and the church. However, I let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. So, like, just again, back to the deal. This is why I was excited about this one, because I got to live the wrong way, and now, baby, we're getting to live the right way, and it's fun, and it's exciting, and it's a whole lot better than that old way. But when we got married in 2015, I had no leadership. The only thing I had was a mindset for me, 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 and whatever I wanted to do. And it was all about me, and there was no life for her. I thought that she was just supposed to come and do what I needed her to do and move where I wanted to ranch and be and all the stuff that we had going on in our lives at the time. And you know what? Looking back, she was very submissive. She was very, like, wanting to follow, wanting to go, wanting to please. But there was just some sorry leadership there in front of her. And I can just look back, you know, that I had read this verse or maybe heard it or somebody preached it, and the only thing I heard was the wife should submit to the man part, right? And I can remember in some stupid moments where I might even bring that up. But it's got to be a two-way road, you know. It's got to be a two-way street, and you got to give your wife something to follow and a godly man to follow, because the one who created marriage was God, and if he says that that's the way it should be, then that's the only good way it's going to work. But it's kind of like, you know, me only knowing that one little part of that verse. You need to read scripture, the beginning of it, the back of it, all of it, to put it all together in your mind so that it'll work. It's like I've been making this bread. Jennifer started finally. I had to ask her for like 18 Sundays to give me some starter. And she finally gave me some, and I've been making this bread, but there's like 26 things to do. I don't know if y'all have ever made bread, but it's a lot, especially for me because it's slow. But anyway, you know, just like taking that one verse out of there, I can't just put one of those ingredients in there and expect to have some awesome bread to feed somebody. You got to put them all in there. So you got to read from 22 to 33 for it all to work, the best it can work in your home and your marriage. The Bible wasn't, you know, it wasn't written just to be thrown on your dash so nobody breaks into your pickup. The Bible was written to be put into action. We got to put this thing into action. So the one thing I see in marriage is, you know, after all this stuff and that we've gave our testimony and gotten through all of this, you know, like people started calling, people were going through the same thing we went through, you know, but there was just nobody speaking about it. And we just were blowed our minds that everybody, you know, we weren't the only ones. We weren't the only ones struggling. And the main thing, one of them that I see the most in marriages is the wife is the head. When you walk into somebody's house, you tell me if I'm wrong, you know who leads that home pretty quick. That man you just turned your horse with at the barn is a different one that walks in the house. And you know, it's a dangerous place. It's a dangerous home because it's backwards from the Word of God. It says the husband's going to lead the wife. It doesn't say the wife is. And it's the living, active Word of God, sharper than any two-edged sword, so we better be paying attention to it so that our homes aren't unbalanced. So we can go back to Genesis in 3:16. It was after the fall. You know, it says, for the fall, this is the Lord God talking to the woman. He says, to the woman, he said, I will surely multiply your pain in childbearing. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be contrary to your husband's. That's fact. But he shall rule over you. And God is saying right here that Eve would now desire to rule over her husband. And you know, this doesn't mean if this is you and you feel like maybe you're kind of stepping out of your role of being a wife and maybe it's backwards from what we're talking about and what we just read about, because it's not what Cole's saying, it's what the Word of God is saying. And if you just feel like that's you, it doesn't mean that you're a bad wife, it doesn't mean that you're a bad person, it doesn't mean that you're messing up, but it just means that we need to pay attention and this is how we were created and we need to just make sure that we're walking in our role as a married couple for it to be everything that it can be. It's your job to take notice and refrain from it. Wives, you're created to be led. Let him lead. Give him room to fail. There's not a leader in this place. If you're a leader at your job, or if you're Cody Cochran, or if you're Carter Edmondson, or whoever's leading anything, or Connor leading this group, people are going to fail. Give him room to fail. And when he fails, give him a little grace and lift him up. This will make him become wiser in his decisions, and it will build him up and keep him strong. And the mistakes are going to be made. That's just a fact. The Word of God is saying that the wife should be willing to submit to her husband. All right, I'm going to get off of the women here and go to the men. After the fall for Genesis, and back still in Genesis in 3:17-19, it says you're going to have to work for your food. Sorry, you ain't going to be able to be lazy. There's no way around it. We just got to work. We just got to get up and work. And, you know, I was talking to Marley about this, and I was just looking back, like looking at, I feel like I'm young enough to not, like, see much change go on. But when I was thinking about this work thing, we need to teach our children to work. I mean, just little boys. Mine's 4, and he can tend to the chickens. He can water the horses. I mean, just teach them to work. And now that I've looked at this and looked around, you know, I was thinking back when I was, I think we moved back to the 6s when I was 12, and there was like 8 or 10 of us from the age of 12 to senior age in high school that were there at that ranch working. And it was because our parents, our dads, knew that them boys needed to be working, that they knew that if we weren't working, we'd be out doing something that we probably didn't need to be doing, so we were working. So we got to teach these kids to work. And these phones, man, every time I look around, you know, we can go to these rodeos, and you can see the parents that are doing it and spending time with their children. It's the ones that are down there, and them kids are playing in the dirt, and they got their trucks, and they're playing with other kids, and they're learning how to be around other people and be with other people. And then there's a handful of them that are up in the third row watching a phone when there's good-looking horses and wild cows out there in front of them. And In verse 19 of that deal there in Genesis, it says, by the sweat of your face. We're just going to have to work. There's no way around it. So if I were you, I would just get to where you like to work. I love to work. That's about the only thing that I feel comfortable doing is working. So the kickback for the man is that we would be tempted to abandon our God-given role of leading, guarding, and caring. Instead, we would have a sinful, distorted desire to rule over her. We're called to be leaders, not rulers. That my way or the highway deal that I had going on when we first got married for 6 years sucked. For her and for me. And again, this doesn't mean, you know, if you're the ruler, if you feel like you're the guy that I'm talking about right here, don't mean that you're sorry some buck and you're not a good man. It just means that you need to notice that the Word of God is saying this and act on it. The most tragic result of their rebellion was that it created ongoing conflicts between husbands and wives. And that's another fact. It's hard. It's tough to be married. Young, old, I believe it, all of it is. I've talked to old guys that have trouble and young guys that have trouble, and it's just a fact. We're just going to be tough when two people are together so much. We got to have grace for each other daily. Give her room to fail. Pick her up. Love on her. And I asked my 90-year-old grandpa a while back. I actually put my phone on the dash and pushed record. He was out getting a gate. I pushed record when he got in. I said, what would you tell the young generation that were married right now about being married? And he always pauses for a minute. He's 90 years old, and he always pauses before he says anything. And he said, tell her you love her and help her. Simple. But we get busy. The enemy gets us busy. The enemy takes us away from what matters. And all of a sudden, you hadn't told her you loved her in 2 or 3 days, and you hadn't helped her in 2 or 3 days, and you're just worried about you and what you got going on. And it just becomes what happens, because the enemy doesn't want a good, healthy unit that for Christ, especially if they're raising some kids up in the church and bringing them on Wednesday and bringing them on Sunday. You can guarantee that your family's going to be attacked in some sort of way by the enemy. So your husbands are called to love your wife unconditionally, sacrificially, and just as the Christ loved the church. And all this we can talk about, and all this is what we can see with our eyes, and all this is what we can live with, and all this is what we can think about and understand and see, but there's something that we can't see. And for so long, I don't know if we were just stupid, but I think we were just ignorant to the Word of God. But John 10:10 says that he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And it also says that he looks around like a roaring lion ready to devour his prey. So there's something out there that's bigger than all these problems that we can see and that let us get aside, and it's the enemy. Most of the time, it's not him or her. Most of the time, it's not that girl that you chased around in college and wasted all your gas and all your money on and everything else. Not the one that you decided to get married to and have kids. It's most of the time not her, and most of the time not him. It's the enemy that you can't see, that's came into your home, that's crept in there, and that's stealing your joy and stealing your marriage and stealing your parenting. And he's just hoping and praying that we don't see him coming. He doesn't want it. He doesn't want a good foundational marriage. You know, if you're going through all this and you're struggling, you're having a hard time, I encourage you to remember the girl that you chase so much, or the guy that you chase so much, spent all your gas money on and all your sorry tires on your old truck back in the day. Like, I just sometimes when I get to a place, I got to remember that girl that I saw. She had little short black hair and would wear dresses to the floor and was a little just right out of Tarleton, been on the cheerleading squad, weighed about 85 pounds. I remember that girl. I would stay up all night talking to her on the phone. I'd fall asleep. She'd call me back just to tell me good night. Remember her through all this. Remember him through all this. Pay attention to the enemy. Stop fighting him or her. Start fighting Satan together. You know, this is what we learned through our whole deal and through our marriage and our home. And so now, you know, this is just what we do in our house. You don't have to do it in yours, but this is what we do in ours. We pray against the enemy together. You know, our prayer all the time is, Lord, we just thank you for our family. We thank you from where you've brought us from, and we thank you for these boys. And God, I pray a hedge of protection over this family, physically, mentally, and emotionally. In Jesus' name. It's a daily prayer. It's constant all the time. You know, another thing that we do, we pray over the boys. When they're sleeping, you can walk in there and lay your hands on them little farts and pray over them. Because mine ain't going to be still long enough to pray over him while he's awake. But my prayer for that four-year-old and both of them, but mainly Hayes right now, just because it's on my mind. And, And he's talking about, oh, that girl's pretty, Dad, you know, whatever it is. I just pray over him. It's just, you know, my prayer over him. And when we go in there and he's sleeping, is, God, I just pray that you give this little boy a heart for you and a heart for the word and just a mind that would know you in a messed up world. And I pray that he would just keep his values right and everything tight, God. And I just pray right now, wherever his wife is, God, and where whatever family she's growing up in, I pray a hedge of protection over her. And I pray that her parents are paying attention to the enemy, God. And I pray that her parents are raising her in the word. And that I pray that her heart and her mind would have a love for you and a heart for you, God. For when they come together, that they may know you before each other. Pray over your kids. All he wants is controversy between you and your family. So the bottom line to this marriage deal for me is it's a give-take relationship. Because she's not going to be, it's just like a good horse. Like, you can't expect him to be good every time you put your saddle on him. You know, he's going to have off days just like we have off days. Stop expecting so much from her. Stop expecting so much from him. It's a give-take deal. The outcome will depend on if you stay in your role that the Bible tells us to stay in and where you put God. Because at the end of the day, he created it, and he created marriage, and he put it together. And if he's not in it, and it's never going to be everything that it can be. And the communication, it's a big deal. I'm terrible at it. I always got to be thinking about the communication part. Feed the right dog. I remember when I was in high school, Cody, I would come over here, and Cody was always talking about the bad dog and the good dog there for a while. Feed the right dog. You know, if you walk in every day and she's cranky or she's had a long day with them little turds or whatever y'all's house looks like, don't be talking about her negativity. Don't be talking about her messed up hair. Don't be talking about no negative. Feed the right dog, man. Tell her how good looking she is. Tell her how good of a mama she is. I can't, you know, just feed the right dog, and whatever you feed is what you're going to get. When I grew up at Guthrie, there was an old man there. He's my grandpa's brother. Cody talks about him all the time. His name's Boots O'Neill, but he would always carry cake in his pocket, cow cake in his pocket, and them horses, when he would crack that latch on that gate, no matter what time of day, they would just come to that gate and know that they were about to get a piece of cake. And he had a little bucket. If he didn't have it in his pocket, he had a little white bucket there inside the door with a nylon rope that he'd put on it for a handle. And them things just love to be caught. You know, they love to be patted on. They love to be scratched, saddled, used. They love to be caught because he fed the right dog. He fed the right thing inside of them. So whatever you feed your spouse is whatever spouse you're going to get. Alex, if you guys want to come, I'll start winding it up. To all you singles, all this stuff applies to you too. If you begin walking in a way that would be commendable to as a spouse, you'd be majorly ahead of the game. If I could do some things over, that would be one of them that I would love to do over. It would set your foundation in your marriage before you ever had one. You know, it'll keep you on your toes, and you'll know what you're looking for in a spouse because that's how you're living. That's how you're seeking, and that's what you're reading and studying about as a single person. And I think, too, it would save you a lot of time and a lot of heartache because you know what you're looking for. So these relationships that ain't going to work, you'll know quick. The Lord's going to let you walk in discernment if you're seeking him, if you're trying to be the spouse that the Word of God wants you to be and that you can learn about. You'll know pretty quick, and it'll save you a lot of time and a lot of heartache. You know, I believe God will bless the one that's doing this as well. I think it will make his heart happy. This thing didn't talk about kids right here. It will later, but I was going to throw this in here because it has a lot to do with parents and husbands and wives. And I was listening to this Tony Evans sermon the other day, and he was like, you know, it's funny. A lot of people think we have kids because, man, we're good looking. I bet we have some good kids. Or they just have kids because they want to have kids. Whatever your reason is for having kids, but he was like, the reason that we can have kids, the reason that a husband and wife can have kids is because God made it that way so that you had generations of godly people hitting the ground. So that each generation could keep carrying on good fundamental marriages and things in the kingdom of God. He even put this in here, and I'm going to say it too. That's how come two guys can't have a kid. And that's how two girls can't have a kid. Because it don't line up with the Word of God. And it ain't why he wanted kids to be here. So you men that are single and looking for somebody, look at her mama and you'll know quite a bit about what she's going to be like to you. And I'm not saying that they can't change. I'm not saying that there won't be a heart change or God's not going to come change them and change their hearts and their minds like he come and did mine and Marley's, but that's all can happen. But while you're dating, and if you want to save some heartache and pay attention, however their parents treat each other, you can feed off of that. You young women, look at his daddy and you'll see what he'll be like to you most likely. We're constantly being examined by a child. Cody says this all the time, and I love it. More is caught than taught. You know, through our hardest times of our marriage, when we were, man, when it was bad, I remember us fighting, and I remember us going through this crap, having some horrible days, horrible nights. And I remember, you know, it would come across my mind, and looking back, there was the Holy Spirit telling me, but like, you know, we would think about Hayes was in there, but he was 2 years old, and both of us, which is bought the lie of the enemy. Well, he's too young, he won't remember. But I'll tell y'all, to this day, we may not be having a fight, but we may be like retelling a story with a little bit of emphasis in the kitchen, and he'll be back there in that big house, and he'll run up there and walk in there with his finger and look at both of us and tell us to stop. And it's because at 2 years old, he remembered an unstable house. Constantly being examined. And you know, at his age, he may not fully understand the cross, and he may not fully understand forgiveness and all the stuff that comes with this walk. But one thing they will understand all the time, every time, is what they see. And what they see you do. What they see, what he sees me do. So just some of the things, y'all can just think about this as we close this thing out. Some of the things that we had to learn and change in our home after the Lord changed our hearts was pick your battles. Like, does it really matter what you walk in and gripe about just because you had a bad day? Like, whatever you see that she didn't do, pick your battles. Don't feed the fight. Let him get it out of him, and then go water your horses. Go do your chores. Go do something and come back and just be lovable. Love her. Love him. Still working on this one, but it's pretty simple. Just shut up. If the kids are in the house, just shut up. Just wait. Let him or her vent and go on. Learn to say, I'm sorry. I'll say this, I am always the first one to say sorry. She's hard-headed son of a gun. Serve each other. I don't like doing dishes, but I'll do them. Serve each other. You know, she goes down and she fills up the waters at the house, or she sees my horses come in. She goes down there and shuts the gate because she knows I'm going to need one, and it'll just save me from having to gather them when I get home. Just serve one another. Just little things. Little things add up. Feed the right dog. Look good for each other. You know, give your spouse whatever got you at the beginning. Give it to them now too. Look good. Be sexy. Flirt. Man, joke, surprise each other, hold one another, kiss more, hold hands again. I used to always hold her hand in college. It was fun. Help her in the house, help him at the barn, take the kids, give her a break. If she's with the kids all day, man, when you get home, take them with you, give her a break, let her go on a walk, let her do something. Go on walks together. We always go on walks. Hayes loves going on walks. That's the last thing I want to do after I've worked my butt off all day. But, man, it's something about it. Like, y'all go and just leave the phone at the house and go on a walk. Go on dates. Pray together. Pray for each other. You know, back to that sleeping deal. Sometimes when she's asleep, I'll just put my hand on her and pray over her. There's power in prayer. Paul says in Thessalonians, pray without ceasing. Just pray. I underestimate the power of prayer all the time. Like, I'm always like trying to do this, trying to do this, trying to do that. I'm like, man, I ain't prayed. Pray over. Pray for each other. Pray for our sleeping kids. Watch what music you listen to. Most of the music that you turn on the radio is not for a grounded, godly marriage. Watch what you have on your TV. For you and her, so your minds are on the right page, so that your eyes are not seeing things you don't need to see, so that them kids ain't running by hearing things they don't need to hear and seeing. You know, I never thought I'd have to live like I hate this commercial, those those guys, I don't know what they are, drags or whatever, and Hayes is like, that girl's dressed like a guy. I mean, watch what you watch on TV. Watch what you got it on. Pay attention. That's how he comes in there without you paying attention. Pay attention to the phone. Phone time. And what you do on your phone. And like Cody said a while back, man, if you grab her phone and she takes it from you, I can guarantee you there's probably something on there that ain't supposed to be on there, and you better start paying attention to it. Both ways. And the biggest part is to keep your family in church. There's just something about bringing them to church. There's something about you two sitting there together. You two sitting there together. You married people sitting together. Got your arm around her. There's something about a married couple being in church. So that's all I got. And while they play this last song, I just encourage you guys that are here with your wife and you singles that are wanting to be a husband or a wife one day, y'all just pray right here. You husbands, you be the leader and you pray over your wife. And y'all just come together tonight on this Wednesday night and have like a reset. A reset from tonight to go on and enjoy this week. So Father God, I thank you for this day. I thank you for all that you've done, Lord. I thank you for all these marriages, and I thank you for everything that you have going on in this place, in this house, God. We just love you. We thank you. We thank you for your guidance. And I thank you, God, for showing us what marriage should look like. And I thank you for giving us a place to go find it and learn it and read it, Lord. And I just pray that you just give us a fire in our marriages to realize the power that's in them, Father, and just realize the power that is in the prayer with them, God. And I just pray over these families, these kids, Lord. I pray that they would go and bring forth fruit, God, and just let it be something they've never experienced before, Lord. And the ones that need repair, Father, I pray that you just repair it. Show them, Lord. Let them seek you, Lord. Give them the fire to seek you so that you can work with them, so that they can have that encounter with you, God. And these things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
All right, y'all, we got one more. Go ahead and stand on your feet. Let's worship the Lord. I know y'all know this one.